Hockey Central at noon is Hockey Central at any time you want it to be. When you subscribe to the podcast at iTunes or with your favorite podcatcher. Sportsnet 590 The Fan. On demand. This is the number one noon hour hockey show in Canada. This is Hockey Central on the Sportsnet Radio Network.
Welcome once again to Hockey Central at Noon. Jeff Merrick in for Darren Millard. And the news breaking as we speak right now, the San Jose Sharks and Todd McLellan have agreed to part ways. Did Connor McDavid's next head coach just resign from the San Jose Sharks? That's where we'll begin the conversation. And we'll talk about the weekend that was around the NHL and the Stanley Cup playoffs with Rich Sutter, former NHLer, former Memorial Cup champion with Lethbridge. How do you like that? We'll talk about the Western Hockey League as it relates to Dale Weiss in a second. And Hall of Famer Scott Morrison back here for some more punishments after sitting on the desk with me last night on Sportsnet Central. Before we get to Connor McDavid and before we get to what was the weekend and Stanley Cup action, the moments ago, the news breaking, San Jose Sharks and Todd McLellan have parted ways. And I said, half tongue planted in cheek, that there's Connor McDavid's next coach, maybe in Edmonton. No one's really surprised that Todd McLellan is now ex of the San Jose Sharks. Also, Jim Johnson, Jay Woodcroft have been relieved of their duties in San Jose as well. So shoes are falling in San Jose, Rich.
Well, they are, but I think Todd has got a lot of mixed emotions going on right now. I know that man very well, and he's a heck of a coach. And I think right now that his focus is on making sure his family's okay, they're going to be fine. I mean, he's got a job, and his focus right now is also going to be on Team Canada.
Yep,
more championships. And that's important for him, that he wants to go over there and do well, and I'm sure he will. So he's going to get plenty of opportunity and plenty of offers, so I don't know why he'd be in any rush to decide where he wants to go or where he wants to be.
I'm not surprised, but I don't think they're a coaching change away from being a different hockey team or a more successful hockey team. I don't know that you upgrade on a coach of that caliber, but it felt like it was time. And clearly there were some issues between at least one of the players and management, and I guess ultimately the coach, even though it was initially Joe Thornton and Doug Wilson that had the sparring match. Thornton had some, you know, little jabs at Todd last week when Todd had said that he wanted to take some time, talk to his family. And Joe came back and said, well, why not talk to the family in here, meaning the dress room. So anyway, organizationally, it felt like it was time for a change. And if they are able to do it mutually, he's not going to be out of work if he doesn't want to be. He's not going to be out of work for very long, whether it's Edmonton or insert here. There's a few other markets that'll have keen interest.
Philadelphia just opened up a spot last week.
So and there could be other openings.
Was there any word on Larry Robinson?
He's going back to his player personnel role.
No, yeah.
Player development role.
Yeah,
Larry's full time.
Relatively fine.
So there's going to be lots of changes there.
And then what about on the ice? We heard last year from Doug Wilson after they bowed out in that best of seven against the Los Angeles Kings, losing four straight. Big changes were on the horizon. Here comes sea change. It's going to be a new San Jose Sharks team. And as Doug Wilson found out quickly, tough to do in a salary cap era, one where some key players hold no move clauses.
Well, he couldn't move the big guys, but he did make that team a lot younger. He overhauled the other end of the roster and brought in a lot of kids, which is what he promised to do. And when you look at it, they didn't miss by much at the end of the day. And there's a few games along the way where they lost to lower teams in the standings that they ultimately regretted. So they did inflict some change there. Now you wonder, with what has transpired with some of the quote-unquote, I don't want to call it a war of words, but the exchange of words.
Exchange of ideas.
whether there might be, maybe the appetite is a little different now from a player perspective for moving on from that organization.
Well, and you'd think, too, the commotion and the distraction I thought Doug created last year with the captaincy, with those guys, would you not just want to leave that to the guys in the locker room and to the new coaching staff, let them decide who their captains are going to be? I mean, those guys in that room know who their leaders are.
It's Joe.
Yeah.
It's Joe Thornton. So, you can say all you want about we're going to shift this to Joe Pavelski and Logan Couture and Brent Burns and Mark Edward Flatt. It's Joe's room. Ask anyone who's been there at any part of the organization, whether a broadcaster, a player, or someone behind the bench.
So stay out of it, right? Let them decide.
So then this
that's what a good lock. That's what a good team does.
Yeah. Elsewhere,
in fairness to him, he put up good numbers again.
He always does. Well. He's money in the bank and still amongst the top three passers in the NHL.
Well, don't tell me he didn't have a chip on his shoulder either, right, guys?
100%.
I mean, come on. I mean, and I hope he continues.
That's not a bad thing.
No, it's a good thing.
Yeah.
Connor McDavid was big news on Saturday night right here where we were just around the corner, Scott, from where you're sitting right now, where the lottery balls fell for some teams in the National Hockey League. And at the end of it, when all the dust settled, the Edmonton Oilers draw the gold card. They will select first overall in Sunrise at the 2015 NHL draft, where Connor McDavid is expected to be the next savior to enter that organization. There is, you know, there is a lot of symmetry to this when you look from Mario to Sidney, Gretzky to Connor McDavid. Some wide brush thoughts from you guys on Connor McDavid poised to become an Oiler in June.
Well, that's if they pick him.
I mean, there's no way.
I know. Well, we know that, but you know what? Like, we're all making all these assumptions. I mean, Edmonton's not exactly made the greatest choices in the world the last few years
they
either.
They cannot. Here. This is impossible.
But they cannot not make this mistake. We all know and we all believe that he is the number one guy.
And, going away.
Don't yeah, you think? In like, a landslide.
Yeah, like, it. With all due respect, and Jack Eichel is a fantastic player, but Connor's on a different planet, guys.
Yeah, but there's going to be they need a lot more than that to be a playoff team.
They do.
I mean, they've been handed the get out of jail free cards how many times? Mm-hmm. It's time to
well, now they can focus on improving the defense and improving the goaltending.
Yeah,
because they're in pretty good shape up front.
Two defensemen and a goaltender away.
Yeah,
from being a legitimate.
And you've got pieces now that you can put into play.
So yeah, so how do you do that? Well, what do you do?
Well, I don't think they'll want to move Hall. Don't think they'll want to move Eberle. I don't think they'd want to slash could move Neil Yakupov. If I was Leon Draisaitl, I don't know whether I'd buy a home in Edmonton. I know the temptation is there to say, well, look down the middle, Connor McDavid, Ryan Nugent-Hopkins, Leon Draisaitl. But if you're going to get, you have to give.
Well, you better sell how many hundreds of thousands of McDavid jerseys in the next 2 or 3 years, because I don't think you're going to make the playoffs in the next 2 or 3 years.
Mm-hmm.
There's a lot of improvement to be made in that club, and they're waiting for that rink to get opened up, the new one. And when Connor McDavid and possibly Leon Draisaitl and Ryan Nugent-Hopkins, if they're going to be your three centermen, you're not there yet as a playoff team. So you're going to have to sell a lot of jerseys to make ends meet before you get into that new rink.
But what you've become is a more popular free agent destination, 100%. Potentially, with McDavid being there.
Not just for players, for coaches as well.
Yeah.
Like, all of a sudden, if you're a head coach who's without a contract anywhere and you're looking around the landscape and you're seeing the jobs that are available, where once upon a time you might have said to yourself, Edmonton, I'm not so sure about that. Does the presence of Connor McDavid change all that? I would submit it does. I would submit right away, hold on a second here. Maybe you do give Edmonton a second look, and maybe you do look at them and say, you know what? To your point, Rich, they're not there now. But in a couple of years, when they fix that blue line and get a goaltender, all of a sudden, you're looking, hey, 10 years down the road, competitive hockey team in Northern Alberta, count
it in. It's hard to win hockey games in the NHL 5-3, 6-4, 6-5, 7-5 every night. And until they can get that back end straightened out, it's hard to be a goaltender in Edmonton. I don't care how good you are.
Yeah.
You're going to look pretty average on a lot of nights.
But, I mean, they can go out shopping for a goalie this summer.
Anthony Niemi.
You on the market, free agents on the market, and you know, maybe you make a deal and you make yourself a little bit better on the blue line, maybe they can make a jump.
Well, and I think you make that comment about it being a spot now that people want to go to, and maybe even for a goaltender that could be true too, but as long as you're going to be willing to be patient with that goalie and he's going to be able to keep his head in the right place for the next year or two too, because that hasn't exactly been a place that's it's helped goalies get better.
Mm-hmm.
It's actually got them to go the other way.
The interesting thing about Edmonton getting Connor McDavid is he doesn't have to be the player who starts a rebuild. I mean, he jumps in here a few years into the rebuild in Edmonton. So it's not as if he has to lug a bunch of players around the ice with him for a couple of seasons. He's going to walk in with players. Right? He's coming in towards the quote-unquote end of the rebuild for the Edmonton Oilers. So we're not going to look at his hockey DB down the road one day and say, wow, I can't believe he used to have to lug these three guys around the ice with him. And wow, he really had to make the best of a bad situation. He's walking in on an entry-level deal with players to play with.
He's going
to
play with good players.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I mean, look at their top six. I mean, he's going to play with good players. We know that. Now they got a top six or seven that are pretty good players. And so he's definitely going to walk into a spot where he can be successful.
Well, now it's time for management to step up and fill in the holes. Mm-hmm. Simple as that. You've had your first overall picks. Kind of lucky in that regard. So you've won your lottery. Now go lifting.
You can make the argument that they haven't been lucky because, you know, the years where Steven Stamkos and John Tavares were available, they didn't have that first overall.
And they've got other...
They're lucky this time.
They've got other first-round picks, too.
That's true.
So they can parlay them to something. You know, or do they keep them and hope that the scouting staff's going to be allowed to make those choices to pick those players? Mm-hmm. Because there's a lot of assets there.
You watch the juniors closely. Darnell Nurse.
A couple years away, but he's going to be a good one. I think Oscar Klefbom's going to be a good one for the Edmonton Oilers. Darnell Nurse really quieted his game this year, where once upon a time, Darnell, Sault Ste. Marie Greyhounds, first-round pick of the Oilers, would grab the puck and freestyle, would want to do everything every single shift. Maybe a lot of this is Sheldon Keefe, OHL Coach of the Year. Maybe part of this is Hockey Canada, who've been on him for a couple of years about quieting his game. He's a much better defenseman this year. And someone who they had a little audition with last year. Wouldn't be surprised to see him, you know, start the season with the Edmonton Oilers, get a little bit of a taste. But Darnell Nurse is going to be an Oiler and be a really good defenseman. So that's one, that to your point, though,
there's
Rich,
a piece on the come, but it's a year or
there's
two
a piece
away
on the horizon.
And in fairness to Darnell Nurse, if he's going to play in the Ashok League, he has to settle his game down.
100%.
You know.
And he has.
And just, he doesn't need to be a top guy. He just needs to be a good player and let him settle into role. And hey, it takes these young guys in the back end, unless they're big time studs coming out of junior college, it takes them 2, 3, 4 years to really see what they really are. Mm-hmm. And if you're going to rush that or think otherwise, you're wrong.
Also around the NHL, there was playoff action, by the way.
Well, I was just going to say, guys, how should you feel if you're in Buffalo right now?
Okay, let's finish up by talking about the Sabres. And Tim Murray, maybe awkwardly phrased a couple of things on
Saturday.
He
doesn't like the lottery, I'm pretty sure of that.
Yeah, he's not a big fan of the lottery. But listen, Buffalo, as much as they may have wanted Connor McDavid, Jack Eichel is a wonderful quote-unquote consolation prize, if you want to frame it that way. It's another franchise-changing player, Richie.
Well, they've got, you know, there's other guys too right behind him. So it's who says what who they're going to pick? I mean, we're saying Eichel, and that's probably going to be the guy. But they've got picks. They've got extra picks. They've still got a lot of good pieces coming. I think the focus would have been great for the local people to have a McDavid like that. But, you know, Eichel's not a bad pick, and they've got other picks coming. And if they can get their player development and other things in order with how they want to go about doing some things and their base in Rochester, there's a lot of real good hockey people there in the organization. Mm-hmm. Now to move it forward, they've still got a lot of good things to work on.
And if you want to talk about strength down the middle, all of a sudden you have a situation where you're Buffalo and you have Jack Eichel, you have Sam Reinhart, who's now with Roch after Kootenay bowed out against Calgary, and you have Zemgus Girgensons. So all of a sudden down the middle in the East, the Buffalo Sabres really look set for the future. We make a lot about the defensemen, Ristolainen and Zadora. There's some good defensemen on that Buffalo Sabres squad as well. Jake McCabe will probably be a really good defenseman as well. Like, Buffalo's looking fine out of all of this. Like, if I'm a Buffalo Sabres fan, I'm still feeling really good. You couldn't. You can't not. And a Vander Kane coming for Jack Eichel to play with. So if you're Buffalo, I think you look just fine. Thank you very much. All right. The Montreal Canadiens take a stranglehold 3-0 lead in their series, best of seven against the Ottawa Senators. Game four could be closeout night, not until Wednesday, extra day off in this one. From what you guys saw last night, whether it's the choice to go with Craig Anderson over Andrew Hammond, whether it's the play of Erik Karlsson, whether it's the heroics of Dale Weiss, what jumped out at you guys last night about Montreal's victory overtime style against the Ottawa Senators?
Well, I think we were all marveling at the play of Karlsson.
It's great.
Just, you know, he was his usual dynamic self with his playmaking and rushing up the ice. But, Rich, you mentioned it last night. It was just the physical part of his game that I don't remember seeing it at least to that level. I mean, he was just rocking them out there.
And now what I loved about it, they had spots on him on the bench where he was loving it. And his teammates were loving it. And he looked across the ice for him and don't think he wasn't thinking, okay, that number 76 on the other side, I have to be better than him tonight.
Yeah.
And
do players do that? Talk to us as an ex-player.
Absolutely.
Were there
you
players
do.
You would look at and say, I need to be better than that guy?
Well, I wasn't the best player by any means or even still close to that on my teams. But when I knew what my role was every night and I was looking across at who I knew I was going to play against, mm-hmm. it was going to be three of those guys or three of those guys. Mm-hmm. And I knew that if we had any chance to win tonight, I had to be no worse than even up with them every night. So there was easy motivation there. And for him last night, it was to be better than the guy on the other side.
I think you could argue he was the best player on the ice.
I mean, he did going away. He did things last night. We were just going,
really?
Wow.
I
mean, this is fun to watch. He was dynamic last night.
That's one of the best games I've seen him play all year.
And I think Dave Cameron made the right call with Craig Anderson, and Craig Anderson was outstanding in that game. You know, very solid in the first period.
47
he was
saves.
Very busy in the second period and was excellent there. Their penalty kill was perfect on the night, and we all know how the goalie factors into that. At the end of the day, I don't think a lot of people just like the winning goal. And
I mean,
you know, it was short side off the post.
But it was a hell of a shot.
It was a great shot.
I mean, you know, it's that 12, 14 inches up off the ice, just above the pad.
Yeah.
And those are tough ones to stop.
It's a perfect shot. And how does it – I mean, Dale, we talked about this last night on our panel, guys, where Dale Weiss has scored 5 playoff goals. 3 of them are game winners. And there it was last night. You saw him play in Swift Current.
2 overtime winners.
Bingo.
Yeah.
You saw him in Swifty. Different player, same player.
Same player, just playing it obviously at a different level. And the thing I like about him is he's one of those guys that when you're in the locker room and you look around, you know you're going to be able to get – and expect the same thing out of Dale Weiss every night. Mm-hmm. And it's not that star, that's not that glittery type thing you're going to get from our star guys, but you know what you get from him. He's a meat and potatoes guy. He's a lunch bucket guy. He's an honest player, and he does things that are important to your hockey club. And they're the kind of guys that you win with in the playoffs.
And give Michel Therrien credit. He mixed up his lines a little bit. He moved him away from the Eller line and put him on with Mitchell and Prust, and they found some energy and got them going in that third
period. What about Torrey Mitchell? 2 assists.
There you go.
He was traded for a 7th-round pick.
Yep.
I mean, wow. I mean, this guy is fit in, and when they trade for him, they said about his speed, how important he was going to be, his pill and kill, his face-offs, and they even look at a guy like Flynn. Mm-hmm. I mean, Mark Bergevin made the comment when, I mean, he had 3 points in game one.
Yeah.
Mark Bergevin made the comment when they trade for him. This guy is a better player than people think he is. And he was a big part of game one, obviously.
Mark had a good deadline.
He did really well.
Understated, but
that's it.
Effective.
Like, we focus so much, you know, Butch Goring, Alexander Mogilny, the big trade deadline deals, most of which really haven't worked out for teams, Goring and Mogilny being the exceptions. But generally, it's the tweaks that you make at deadline that really put your team over. To your point, Torrey Mitchell and Brian Flynn, we kind of looked at that trade deadline and said, well, okay.
Good depth.
And you know what? And
Petrie on the back end.
Petrie's been really good. Yeah. With that game where P.K.
Really
Subban went
night,
down, Jeff Petrie's been a really good defenseman for Montreal in these playoffs. You got us, and it's much to the chagrin of Edmonton Oilers fans, but he's been fantastic for Montreal. So is Gilbert.
Well, there's a lot of other fans sitting there. How does Tom Gilbert and Jeff Petrie play like
look
that in our
too.
In Edmonton? And look what
they're
doing in Montreal.
A lot of guys
the
look better when you look back
we'll
and see
about.
The goalie between the pipes there, too. Carey Price was kind of good again last night. And again, they give up the first goal, but then he just closes the door. And you made the point on our post-game show just about how calm, cool, collected he is. Just poised, never gets flustered.
He's just so focused, and he just, you know, stops the puck. If he wants the whistle, he holds on. And if he wants to get rid of it, he just slides it off to somebody. You know, he dictates and controls the pace of the game at times.
The scrum in front, he skates off, just moves away, makes the save, skates away.
That's why he is
best on the planet.
Yeah, he's top drawer. Okay, Calgary, home in the Saddle Dome, facing off against Vancouver Canucks. Game 3, they win 4-2. More rough stuff slash nonsense towards the end of the game with Bieksa and with Burrows. And at the end of all of it, the Calgary Flames now take a 2-1 series lead over the Vancouver Canucks. And front and center with this one, Sam Bennett, 3rd overall draft pick out of the Kingston Frontenacs last year for the Calgary Flames, scores the game-winning goal. And as much as Edmonton is talking about Connor, and for good reason, if I'm Calgary, I'm feeling pretty good about the 3rd overall pick I grabbed last year.
Well, you should be. And I think he's shown, and I'll be honest, he has surprised me a little bit. just because coming in and at this age and be able to step in at this pace so quick and not playing except for at the end of the year back at home. But to be able to step in and do what he's done is pretty incredible. That's a tribute to himself and to the people that he's worked with in Calgary before he went back to junior and all, obviously the team back in junior. So it's a credit to him. They're using him in the right situations. Again, Bob is pushing the right buttons for that club right now. And I'm glad. I'm happy for them, happy for the team.
Well, now, because it's Canada and because we're fixated on goalies, the goalie controversy starts for the Vancouver Canucks. But that's been kind of a theme of these playoffs when you think about Chicago had the decision to make.
Okay, you're related.
You know, it's always at St. Louis. You always have that issue, it seems.
Well, it's the year of the backup. Ottawa. It's the year of the backup. Are they about to pull the backup and go to the vet?
Well, I think maybe you do. I think, you know, I don't think you hang any of this on Eddie Lack, but maybe you bring Miller in and it gives you a bit of a boost and a different look and a different feel.
What do you think, Richie?
I don't know if he's ready, Ryan Miller.
So maybe you just think...
I mean, he only had the one game action.
And he didn't look
final
good.
Final night against Edmonton.
He looked, struggled. He looked like he struggled. He looked not 100%. And like Nick and I talked about earlier... A couple weeks ago, I mean, that up and down, up and down, up and down for a goalie is a lot different than a knee injury for a guy playing up front.
Yep. And he was laboring. You could see that it was difficult for him. So I guess maybe it's an easier decision, but you go to him, and he's got to be brutally honest with the coaching staff about how he feels physically. Mm-hmm. And I guess you see from your practices and your skates how he's moving.
And it's every day there's changes, you know. Getting better, getting stronger. The soreness disappears, you hope. And for his sake, I hope he is starting to get better every day.
So if the health is 100%, then you've got your decision. But if it's not 100%, then it's an easy one. You stay with the guy who was really, really good for you. And, you know, the one thing about Eddie Lack, too, is he really evolved, I think, as a goalie in many regards. But he showed mental toughness that when he had a game where he wasn't necessarily at his best, I don't think he was ever bad in that stretch, but I just remember the bounce back game he had against the LA Kings, and it just where he was just so mentally focused and tough in that game.
Something you mentioned off air, Scott, we should probably revisit on the air. Did you get that feeling that was, I want to say old, but old is 2011, the 2011 vintage of Vancouver Canuck, not in the elite level of play because they're not that team anymore, but the nastiness, the dirtiness a little bit, the sandpaper was back in the game for the Vancouver Canucks, whether it's a poke behind the knees or just a flat-out punch in the face. If you're Kevin Bieksa on Michael Ferland, was that the old Vancouver Canucks that we saw last night?
A little bit of that abrasive personality. We haven't seen them play. They've been a fun team to watch this year, and you know, an underdog that's kind of somewhat underdog that achieved and did well. And it's funny because they did one of their late games in the season. And one of the things we talked about at the intermission was that they become a more likable team. They're not like those old teams that used to annoy people on and off the ice. But, you know, I just think what we saw last night was something that's just been born in this series. But it's just been a nasty piece of business and everybody's leaving their calling card before the night's over.
Burrows on Russell last night.
It's playoff hockey.
Yeah.
I mean, I love it. I love watching it. See the emotions come out. And the nice thing about it, 2 degrees so far, we're letting the players decide games. There has been some questionable calls, no doubt, in any game.
Well, we had that overtime one in Montreal or Montreal-Ottawa.
But the biggest thing is they're doing what the fans want to see. And that's let the players decide this. You know, let it get a little bit in control, but out of control a little bit. That's playoff hockey.
They have a lot of faith in the players, though, to do that, to not take advantage of that. Because we all have a line past which we say, hold on a second, we're not letting the players decide anymore, because by the officials putting the whistles in the pocket, they are deciding it by choosing not to make calls.
Well, and I think what you're seeing, too, though, and we've seen it on TV, is that the officials are going over to the benches, and there's conversation with the benches. Mm-hmm. So you know that the message is being sent. Okay, how far do you guys want to go with this before we we get the step in? And I think that's what players want to see that too. Players want to know, what are the rules tonight? What are we being allowed to do here tonight? Mm-hmm. Just let us know.
And then let us go play. Be consistent for three periods.
Exactly.
And the funny business is only really happening at the end of the games once the verdict is in. So
automatic one gamer then for Burroughs for jumping Russell, or does that get rescinded?
It'll probably be rescinded.
Elsewhere on the NHL yesterday, it was Scott Darling, speaking of backup netminders, taking over from the incumbents. Scott Darling, who was, I'll say, good, not great last night, but still good enough to get the job done. Chicago grab a 2-1 series lead over the Nashville Predators. Was that great play by the Hawks, or was that, man, the Preds don't have Mike Fisher, and more importantly, the Preds don't have Shea Weber now?
Well, I think it's a combination of factors. I mean, you can't take a player like Weber away in the 30 minutes of ice and everything he does, from the big shot from the point to the physical presence to rock solid defensively. You can't take that away from a team and not have it make an impact. So from the Nashville side, huge loss, obviously. Fisher hurts them as well. Pekka Rinne has not been the guy we saw during the regular season. He seems to be fighting it. But then we were talking about it earlier, is from Chicago's perspective, Jonathan Toews was incredible yesterday. Marian Hossa was incredible yesterday. Their best players really brought it shift after shift. Mm-hmm.
We talked last night a little bit about Marian Hossa, Rich, and I don't know that I can see a more complete forward in the NHL right now. In a lot of ways, the player's player. He's big, he's strong, he can distribute, he can skate, he can score, he can check. He's that player at the age of 36 who can kind of do it all. And he proves the old hockey cliche, you can't give a good player a bad pass.
No, he plays the game hard all the time, and I like the way he plays. And the biggest thing is, for him at his age, he's adapted to the pace of the game over the last 3-4 years because he's such a strong player. He's a strong person, but he's also a hell of an athlete, and we know that. And be able to do that at this stage in his career, and it looks like he's not slowing down at all. He's a big part of that hockey club, and we look at that game last night, and we talked about how Darling was, and we talked about how well Toews played, but I also want to comment about their defense.
Sure.
They had a lot of shots on net, and there wasn't a lot of good second chances. The D were there. They were blocking out. The third guy back was in a spot that always helped clear pucks or get in the way of the Nashville player. So the credit goes right around to the whole hockey club last night. Darling didn't have to be exceptional. He just had to be good. Mm-hmm. And as good as he was in Nashville, Nashville didn't really get after him earlier in the game. And maybe Chicago was maybe hoping maybe he needs to be busy, Darling does, to get back in rhythm. But mm-hmm. I think as the game went on, you were wondering, he's not seen enough, especially the first 10, 15 minutes of the game. But he just did what he had to do. He shut the door. He didn't have to be great.
Yep.
He just had to be good. And the team around picked it up.
And we saw Blackhawks win Stanley Cups based on that. What the netminders didn't have 2010 and the last time as well, whether it's Antti Niemi or Corey Crawford, the goalies didn't have to be great.
Well, and the thing that impressed me last night or yesterday was Jonathan Toews. It just wasn't what he was doing with the puck and making plays, but it was his message he was sending to the hockey club, to his teammates, away from the puck. I mean, his back check, his first shift in the third period was unbelievable. He had two unbelievable back check plays where he caught guys coming from behind and broke up plays on the first shift of the third period. And he sent a message basically not just to the hockey club, to the Nashville Predators, that mm-hmm. if you're going to win, you have to come through me also again in the third period. And I thought he was exceptional. He was clearly, in my mind, the best player on the ice. And then you look at Nashville. Mike Fisher skated yesterday morning, so you got to think that maybe he's getting close. But with no Shea Weber, I think you're in
pretty
you're
tough. In, you're That's tough. A tall order, despite what Calgary's doing without Mark Giordano. What's happening with the Washington Capitals? Where did the goals go? It only took 15 seconds of overtime yesterday. Perhaps a questionable goal by John Tavares, and the Islanders grab a 2-1 series lead against the Caps, where the sticks have suddenly gone silent. Rich, as an ex-player, how do you get that back? You can teach a team to play defense. How do you teach a team to score? Or is it just a matter of we need to get a couple and open the floodgates?
Don't think about it too much. Just go play. I mean, these guys are creatures of habit, and especially this time of the year, and the goal scorers are the same way. And just got to keep shooting pucks. But you do notice how the Islanders are focusing a little bit more on Ovi on the power play, which is a good thing for their sake. But, you know, the winning goal was not exactly a great goal, just not that it was on Holtby, but it was a simple play by Carlson. I mean, he had Orpik going behind the net. It was a safe, simple play. Just bank it off the boards back to him, and the whole flow was going to the other side of the ice where the puck went. And it was not a great goal, but credit to Boychuk and Letty. Boychuk gets the – Tavares wins the draw.
Yep.
Boychuk puts it on net. Carlson throws it away. Letty puts it on net.
They knew what
they were doing right off the hop. And yeah. they got a bounce, and it was over in a hurry.
We should mention Boychuk as well, because we always talk about Travis Hamonic being the great shutdown defenseman for the Islanders. But Boychuk on Ovechkin yesterday was pretty close to brilliant. He was fantastic all afternoon long on him.
Well, and he made that one play late in the game where he's on his back and he just does the swing around to get
Snow Angel
to get the puck out of the zone. So he's been terrific. And, you know, the Islanders have been – I mean, Washington got it going offensively in game two where they had to overcome a couple two-goal deficits that boy, that's been a struggle for the Islanders at times this year protecting leads, but did a good job of bouncing back yesterday. But they've been by and large disciplined, and they have to be disciplined because you're facing the number one power play in the National Hockey League. So if they've avoided getting into penalty troubles consistently, that impacts Washington's offense.
How does the series end up? This to me is a curious one. This to me was the pick 'em. This to me was jump ball. How do you see this one, Rich?
I think it's going to be a long series. You look at the game yesterday, and Washington had to weather the storm early. The Islanders came out the first 10 or 12 minutes. The shots net were like 12 or 13 to one at one point.
The building was
electric. and Barry Trotz said it perfectly. We know we just had to weather the storm and then find a way to get pucks deep, get pucks in behind the defenseman. And they're a puck possession team where they like to carry pucks in and make plays. They got all that skill up front. And when they're forced to have to get pucks in and have to start battling down in the trenches, is not really what they want to do. But they did it at times, especially for 7 or 8 minutes in the third period, the middle stages of the third period, where I think the Islanders only had one shot in net. And then Washington had momentum, but they just couldn't sustain it.
All right, so on that, we'll take a break. We'll come back and talk about the games up for grabs this evening, where you can watch the Rangers and the Penguins at 7 o'clock Eastern on CBC. That series tied at 1s. St. Louis and Minnesota, 8 o'clock, that one on Sportsnet 1. Then on Sports at 9 o'clock, it is the whiteouts at the MTS as the Winnipeg Jets welcome back playoff hockey to Manitoba as they face off against the Anaheim Ducks in Game 3. The Quack up 2-0 in that best of 7. We'll take a break, come back with more Hockey Central at noon across the Sportsnet radio and television networks that broadcast on the NHL Network in the United States. We're back in a moment.
Go here, there, and everywhere with Jeff Blair. Subscribe to podcasts of The Jeff Blair Show at iTunes or with your favorite podcatcher, Sportsnet 590 The Fan, on demand. Now, more Hockey Central on Sportsnet 590 The Fan.
Welcome back. Hockey Central at noon. Jeff Merrick for Darren Millard. Around the table, Rich Sutter and Scott Morrison. Want to preview tonight's matchups. The Rangers, the Penguinos, St. Louis and Minnesota, the Ducks, and the Winnipeg Jets. But before we do so, time for, and Hall of Famer, we'll start with you, the Hockey Central at noon. 3 stars. Over to you, Elmer Ferguson.
Cue the music.
There it is.
There it is.
Cue the horns.
Well, I'm going with Dale Weiss. I mean, I'm just a... awesome performance last night. I mean, there were so many great performances in that Montreal-Ottawa game. Mm-hmm. But, you know, this kid just has a knack for coming up and doing special things at key times and over the last two playoffs, and gets the tying goal in the third period late and makes a nice play to do it, too. You mentioned about the hand-eye coordination. Obviously played some baseball along the way. Pulls the puck down. We see it there for those watching on the tube. And puts it in and then scores the overtime winner. So kudos to him. And he really stepped up and emerged last spring for Canadians.
He did. He is the Justin Williams of the Montreal Canadiens. Richie, who do you have?
Jonathan Toews, in my mind, without a doubt. I mean, I loved Carlson, Ottawa, but Chicago won the hockey game. And there was a time in this series where someone had to take the bull by the horns and say, okay, mm-hmm. this series is going to belong to us, or were we going to turn it in that direction? And he, without a doubt, did that. Played a 200-foot game both sides of the puck last night. He was just incredible. Jonathan Toews does what Jonathan Toews does all the time, and he was huge for that hockey club.
And he just flat out wins. At every single level, this guy, winning just follows him, and championships just follow Jonathan Toews. I'm going a little bit off the board with mine. This is a very dramatic weekend, a dramatic Saturday here around the building, and I don't think anyone captured that drama. Darren was great. George was great as well here in the studio. But to me, my first star from the weekend was Bill Daly, deputy commissioner of the National Hockey League, and the way he captured the drama of the...
have a winner.
And stone-faced as well throughout all of it. To me, Bill Daly was the number one star. If you're watching on TV, you can see. And we all know Bill. He's a gregarious. He's a lovable guy. He's a big personality. Loves to have fun and laugh. But the way that he was able to keep it together.
I want to say, when he went to that card right there with the gold on it, there was a hesitation and there was a look in his eye where he looked at that card and I knew right away it was Edmonton.
Well, the thing is, and you learn this in theater school, you learn this in radio school and television school as well, letting the gravity of a moment sink before you do something to build up anticipation. Bill went to Rutgers. Bill is a lawyer. Bill played football, but instinctively, Bill knew how to pause before reading every card. And for me, that's why Bill Daly's the first star.
Well, and he probably looked at it and thought the same thing all of us did. Them again?
How many times do they have to get the first?
Have I had to do this one?
Overall pick. All right, to tonight's matchup. So you can watch this one on CBC starting at 7 o'clock Eastern. It is the Rangers facing off against the Pittsburgh Penguins. This series, Rich, tied at once.
Well, you know, Pittsburgh found a way the other night, but I think what they did is Mike did some line juggling a little bit, and Pittsburgh forced the issue a little bit more the other night. And for them to win this series, they're going to have to continue to do so. But the biggest thing they're also going to have to do is to stay out of the penalty box. 12 times in the first two games, and 8 or 9 of them were stick violations, and obviously stick penalties. They have to stay out of the penalty box to win this series. They know that. They also know they have to be better at home tonight. But do you know what they need to have more than anything? They need to have number 71 going. Yep. I mean, they can't rely on Brandon Sutter like they did last year to carry the load, because he did and he shouldn't have had to. He's done it for the most part of 6 periods, but Sidney stepped up finally the other night.
He's huge.
Now we need 71 to step up. And for them to win this series, he's going to have to be real good.
Mm-hmm. You talked about the penalties. 3 slashes, 2 high sticks, 2 hooks, and 1 cross check.
Wow.
Yeah. A dozen penalties.
And we saw Max LaPierre chirping the Rangers bench. No surprise there. But what he was saying was, well, now you woke up Sid. Now you've woken up Sidney Crosby. And he was fantastic.
And I see a different Max LaPierre on this team than I did on other teams.
How so?
There's just something in his game that really caught my attention. He is not playing on that, doing those silly things on the ice. He's playing hard hockey.
Yeah.
And he can go do his things along the bench or whatever he's doing, but he's playing between the lines on the ice, and he's mostly been playing whistle to whistle.
Mm-hmm.
And they need his energy. They need his penalty kill. They need his face-off prowess. They need him to be exactly what he's been for the first two games also.
Scott, tonight is the Rangers and is the Pittsburgh Penguins. This is one of the marquee matchups we have, 7 o'clock Eastern on CBC. Everyone thought the Rangers were going to win this in 2.5, maybe at most 3, but not so fast. The Pittsburgh Penguins have split the series heading back to Pittsburgh. Does this surprise you, the effort of Pittsburgh in Game 2?
No, not when you've got a great player like Sidney Crosby. I mean, the pride and the talent, you know he's going to show up and there's going to be fight there. And you know, this is a bit of a... It's an awkward series for Pittsburgh from the extent that it's a show-me playoff for them, but it's a show-me where you're decimated on the back end.
Yep.
And so, you know, it's one of those ones where injuries are an excuse, but sometimes it can be a reason.
Mm-hmm.
And then they have a reason if they don't get through this thing, is that they're beat up at the back end. But Fleury has been pretty solid for them as well. So, no, I'm not surprised when you get a player of that caliber, and Kunitz has stepped up and played a little bit better for them as well, put some points on the board. You've got some guys with pride there.
And you know what? 2 games in, we're not talking about Marc-Andre Fleury. I mean, how many years have we said...
Well, we're talking in a positive sense.
Well, in a positive way. Mike Bell's done a great job there with Fleury quieting down the game. He's not the erratic netminder that we've seen lose his composure, lose his positioning in series against the Philadelphia Flyers and the New York Islanders. This really does look like a different Marc-Andre Fleury.
And good for him, because he has to be, right? And he needs to be. But also credit to the back end that is been beaten up. And the forwards as well, they're coming back and helping out as well. You see, you know, there always seems to be a third or fourth guy back in the area to help shut the house down in the middle of the ice, like the play by Hornquist right there, if we saw it. But the biggest things like that is you cannot win hockey games unless everyone's playing that game. Everyone has to be buying in at this time of the year. And if someone's not, especially when they've been hurt with the injuries, well, then you hurt yourself.
And they have to be a tight unit because of missing puck handlers at the back end. 100%. They have a tough time getting the puck out of the zone. You got to be coming out of there as a five-man unit.
100%. Big night tonight at the MTS Center in Winnipeg as it is return of playoff hockey to Manitoba. The Winnipeg Jets, we've got Coach's Corner there. Damien is a full crew. We'll be there to cover this one. We'll be.
Do you think anything is happening in Winnipeg today? Like, do you think businesses are actually operating?
Listen,
like it's going to be a holiday there today.
If you're listening right now in Winnipeg or watching us on television right now, and you own a business, just send your employees home right now.
Yeah,
get ready for
close
the game.
The schools.
That's right. Turn down the blinds.
It's game day.
Lock the door.
Going out for lunch, or lunch is coming in to all of us.
Yeah, it's game day. That's all anybody is thinking about.
It's going to be now. Winnipeg's down 2-0 to the Anaheim Ducks, but you could make the argument that the series lead by Anaheim is not indicative of how the two games have gone. Winnipeg, for large stretches, for almost complete periods, has dictated play. So there's plenty of room for optimism if you're a Winnipeg Jets fan in this series, despite the fact they're going back to Winnipeg down 2.
Well, and they got a little sloppy on, what was it, Saturday night? All the days are blending together now. But, with Ladd taking the bad penalty, and then obviously in the last minute you give up that goal. That's tough to swallow. But our favorite cliche is you're never in trouble until you lose at home, and you're going home to a madhouse tonight. So hopefully they can channel that energy and get over the hump.
I think you need Andrew Ladd's got to come up big tonight. He's been quiet. He took a bad penalty. Bad timing.
Yeah.
And Dustin Byfuglien's got to be really good tonight, too.
Sure.
And if those two guys can step up and they can maintain and win a third period.
Yeah.
They win a third period, they got a chance to get right back in the series.
What was it like playing against Winnipeg? What was it like? I know it's a different barn, but what was it like playing in the old Winnipeg Arena?
Tough rink to play in. You always had good teams that could freewheel in there, teams that could score. They can do all that. They're a very well-coached hockey club. They play to win, and I like their lineup. They've got to win a hockey game. We know that, but it's going to be a hell of a game, and Anaheim's going to have to bring their absolute best to win a hockey game in there.
Well, back in the day, the biggest problem Winnipeg had was, Edmonton and Calgary.
You know,
back in the heyday.
It's funny. You're going to say, Merrick, let me help you pick up that name you're going to drop. But I remember talking when I was doing Hockey Night in Canada radio to Wayne Gretzky. We're talking about the old rivalry between, Calgary, that old Smite division. And he said, listen, all Winnipeg needed was a goaltender. So Winnipeg was just as good as we were, could give us everything we wanted. We just had a better goaltender. If you put a goaltender on that Winnipeg Jet squad, all of a sudden, it's not just Edmonton and Calgary. It's Edmonton, Calgary, and Winnipeg in that conversation.
It was just tough because the road out of there went through Alberta.
Good luck. Feel bad for all those years of Vancouver and the Los Angeles Kings. The other game on the board, you can watch this one on Sportsnet 1 starting at 8 o'clock Eastern. Series tied at 1. It is St. Louis facing off against the Minnesota Wild. They are back in Minnesota where, Rich, you mentioned off-air, Minnesota hasn't done that well of late down the stretch at home.
No, and they can down – I think it does. You can downplay it all you want. That you're 5-6-1 in the last 12 and you've lost 3 of your last regular season games at home, you can downplay it all you want. And they can say, well, it is the playoffs, a different thing. It you're right. It is a different thing, but you still have lost 3 in a row at home and you've got to get this turned around at home. Mm-hmm. Doesn't matter how you played in St. Louis. St. Louis is a heck of a road team. And they know that, but also St. Louis knows the importance of winning game 3 tonight. The heat's on them too.
They lost a game in their barn. They wanted to do the same thing to the Minnesota Wild. Final thought on tonight's matchup to you, Scott.
Well, Tarasenko inflicted himself on the series in a big way. So if he's playing at that level, he could be the difference maker.
I was going to say, and that's the one thing about the St. Louis Blues. It just feels different this year for the past few years, and usually they flame out against the Los Angeles Kings. They never had that second-line scoring threats. And now with players like Tarasenko and the emergence of Jaden Schwartz and Jory Lehterä, all of a sudden St. Louis kind of has that now.
Well, they do, but do you know what? They're at a stage in their franchise right now that we're winning this series is really important to the franchise. They've made a ton of changes to put them where they think they are and where they can get where they want to be, but this is huge.
This is a big one. Big night, Rangers, Penguins, St. Louis, Minnesota, Anaheim, Winnipeg. Watch it this evening and then recaps tomorrow on Hockey Central at noon. Thanks for joining us.